Good evening, everyone. My name is Joanne White, and I am blessed to have been asked to introduce our speaker. But before I do, I just have to tell you what a joy it is to stand up here and look out over this beautiful crowd. We have been praying for you by name for weeks, asking the Lord to bring each of you here safely and to bring each of you a custom-designed blessing this weekend. And we know he's going to do it. As Sherry shared with you earlier, less than a third of us are members of EMC. We believe that is a miracle in itself. We pray that every one of you feels so welcome. Some of you have lived in this little corner of the world all of your lives. Some have moved here from many other places and made this your home. Some of you do not live in this area, and some have traveled as many as 5 hours to be here with us for this conference. Wow. We know that has to be the Lord. Until 17 years ago, I lived what I've referred to as a gypsy lifestyle, moving several times in my childhood and then every couple of years as my first husband's company transferred us to mostly large cities all over the United States. After his death in 1992, I moved to Charlotte, North Carolina, which I thought would become my permanent home until heaven. And then the Lord introduced me to my husband on a mission trip to China in 2001, and I moved to the metropolis of Windfall. Through the years, I envied those who had roots and a family around them for love and support. Our family never lived in the same state as either of our parents. A year and a half ago, I met a lovely young woman, Chelsea Wortman, who had enjoyed that blessed experience I had always dreamed of. She and her husband, Jeff, were both born in and grew up in Northern Virginia. She graduated from DeVry University with a degree in business management and received a graduate certificate in human resources management from the University of Virginia. I am sure that her 10 years of experience working for the government in human resources helped prepare her for the management of their busy family of three lively young boys. They worshiped in the same church as both sets of grandparents, and they were very happy there. But through a set of experiences, which I am sure Chelsea will relate to you, they received a call from the Lord to pack up and move, lock, stock, and barrel, to Elizabeth City, so Jeff could become our music minister. And amazingly, they listened and obeyed and answered his call. I have to tell you that I would have said, "I'm sorry, Lord. I have everything figured out and arranged, and I'm comfy here. I have a wonderful job. We have loving grandparents here who are so helpful with our boys. Our church here in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area loves Jeff and wants to keep him as music minister. They really tried to woo him. I think you have us mixed up with somebody else. We are happy here, and we're not looking for new and different." However, Chelsea's attitude through all of this did not even resemble what mine would have been. Not only that, the Lord gave her a verse which we have adopted as the theme of our conference. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. One of the desires of Chelsea's heart is to be used by him to share with you. And I believe we are all eager to hear from and learn from Chelsea as she shares what enabled her to step out in faith with confidence and joy in the one who was calling. I think all of us want to live out that kind of trust in Christ and find contentment in whatever circumstances we find ourselves. Would you help me welcome Chelsea?
Good
from praying for you. Okay. Father, you know how I love this dear girl, and thank you so much for bringing her into my life and into our lives. She has so much to teach us that she's learned in her short days because she's listened so carefully and well to you. Help her, I know you will, to be your minister, to speak your words that you have given her, and she has listened so faithfully. We look forward with anticipation to what you are going to teach us through this willing servant, and we just open our minds and our hearts to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good evening. I am so excited to be here, and I can't believe this day is finally here. I woke up this morning, I told my husband, it's here, the day is here. And he said it sounded like I was planning for a wedding or something. Joanne, thank you so much for that introduction, and I love you too. So I want to start with introducing my family to you. And I have a picture to show you, and this was taken a year and a half ago, about 1 week before we moved here. And I don't know if you can read the sign, but it says, where God guides, he provides. And that was the truth that we were depending on when we stepped out in faith to come to this foreign land of Elizabeth City. And I have a more recent picture to show you. This was taken a year later, this past August. So my husband, Jeff, is the minister of music and worship here at EMC. We have Jaden, who is our oldest son. He is 8 years old, and he goes to Pasquotank Elementary School. He's in third grade. Then we have Isaac, who is 5 years old. And he goes to kindergarten at Pasquotank Elementary. And then we have Eli, who is 2. And he attends preschool here at EMC. Through the process of moving to Elizabeth City, God tore down a stronghold in my life. And he drew me close to him. And I want to share this experience that was brand new to me. I want to share this with you and how I experience God. And my prayer for these three sessions is that the Holy Spirit will encourage each of you to desire a personal relationship with God and to delight in him. To give you an idea of how I structured these sessions, I will share parts of my testimony in each session. And I will also share truths that I've learned through these experiences about God. You have outlines in your folders if you would like to follow along, so you can turn to session 1 so you can see where I'm going with this. I'm going to start with what my family's lives looked like in Northern Virginia, before God called us to move here to North Carolina. Jeff was the full-time worship pastor at Potomac Baptist Church. I worked full-time in human resources. We were so thankful that both of our parents lived nearby, so they helped out with the kids on a regular basis, so therefore we did not need childcare. And that expense, not having that expense, was wonderful. My career was flourishing, and I loved receiving affirmation at work, and I loved accomplishment. However, as I was climbing the ladder at work, I was failing as a wife and a mom at home. I particularly noticed this when I returned to work after my maternity leave with my third son, Eli. You know, I thought Superwoman was a real thing. I thought I could give my all to work and home at the same time. But I found out that was a lie. I went to work before the sun came up. I came home after the sun went down. Jeff had ministries at the church almost every night. So when I came home, we would tag team so I could have kid duty and Jeff would leave for the evening. We barely had family dinners together. And if one of our sons were sick, Jeff would be the one to stay home because my job was too important to take time off. Jeff was the one who dropped Isaac off at preschool and picked up Jaden from the bus stop, which meant he was not at the church as much as he needed to be. I couldn't serve in the church as much as I wanted to, or I couldn't support Jeff's ministry as much as I wanted to. Life was always go, go, go. And we were drowning. But we didn't know any better. We just thought that's what we had to do to live, because that is the culture in the DC area, and that is where we both grew up. Another thing we did, believe it or not, was we met with our church small group, which was one of our favorite things to do. We studied 7 realities for experiencing God by Henry and Richard Blackaby, which is an abridged version of the Experiencing God study. And currently our church, our life groups are going through this study, so some of you may be familiar with that. I highly recommend it. It's dangerous. It'll force you to do things you are not expecting to do. And some of what I'm going to share with you this weekend will come from that study. So the book asked our group the following questions. Identify an area in your life that's going well. My answer was work. Identify an area in your life that's currently difficult. My answer was home. This is when I realized, when I saw this written out in the paper in front of me, that my priority was work over family. And that had to change. And you know, I realized God wasn't even a factor. He wasn't even on that list. I met with the Lord probably about once a week when I could fit it in. And after all of my other first priorities were in place, the book also asked us to rate the following questions on a scale of 1 to 10. How much room do you have in your daily routine? How likely would you be to notice if God wanted to interrupt your plans? How likely would you be to change your plans if God made you aware of an opportunity to join his work? My numbers to these questions were very low. Through this study, the Holy Spirit spoke clearly to me to be prepared because God had a big change coming for me. I had no idea what it would be or when it would be, but I needed to align my life with God's will and purposes because I was not living a sustainable life. The Lord took me on an amazing journey and transformed my spiritual life. As a result, I'm honestly comfortable with saying that my priorities are now ordered to allow me to be available to fulfill God's purposes. After we moved to Elizabeth City, God made it clear to me to resign from my human resources career. What? No! But you know what? I had a very special opportunity to stay home for a full year, which I never, ever thought I would be able to do. This allowed me to reset my life and learn how to place God first and my family second. After this year of healing, God led me to teach 3-year-olds at EMC's preschool for 3 mornings a week, which is completely different than what I was doing before. And I did start teaching this past August. Our youngest, Eli, also attends the preschool. He's in the 2-year-old class, so he's in a different class. But it works out perfectly. He attends the same days that I teach. The other 2 days of the week, I get to spend home with Eli. I also have the availability to drive Jaden and Isaac to school each morning, and I'm home when they come home on the bus. You know, I didn't realize what I was missing before when I didn't spend that time with my kids. And I'm so grateful I can experience this before they are all grown up. Jeff is now able to devote a lot more time to the church because I am home to care for the kids if they're sick or whatever is going on, and I can support Jeff's ministry. My favorite part is our family now has dinners together almost every night. I am also available to be involved with ministries in the church a lot more than I could before. I've attended ladies' morning Bible studies. I sing in the choir. I lead the middle school girls' small group. I'm participating in life groups. And I was even able to be on this women's conference leadership committee. I would have never been able to do all that before. And I'm listing all this off to show you that God has turned my life around to enable me to be involved with ministries that I treasure. If I were to stick to my personal plan, I would still be slaving away, drowning deeper and deeper, eventually into a dark place. But God called me, and he protected me, and he turned me toward a completely different direction to reveal his purposes to me. The difference in my relationship with God from a year and a half ago to today is like the difference between night and day. During this transformation, God revealed to me what the Christian faith is all about. And he showed me how to apply it to my life on a daily basis. And I want to share what I learned with you. Before I go into what a personal relationship with God looks like, I'm going to address why we should even have a relationship in the first place. God created each of us to have a love relationship with him, and he initiates each relationship. It is by God's grace that we even seek God, because we do not seek God on our own. He initiates a love relationship with us, and we make the choice whether or not to respond. I promise you, you will be completely fulfilled in a love relationship with God, because that is what we were created to do. If you don't have this relationship with God, you will look for it elsewhere, and it will not be as fulfilling. So how do you begin a personal relationship with God? Well, we were all born on this earth separated from God because of sin. Sin is pride, selfishness, and rebellion. The consequence of this pride, selfishness, and rebellion is eternal separation from God. But there's good news. God loves every one of us so much that he made a way for us to have eternal life with him. The most incredible aspect of this is he made a way while we were still sinners. The only way he was able to do this was to make a perfect sacrifice to pay for our sins. And that's exactly what he did. God sent his son, Jesus, from heaven to earth to live a perfect and holy life and then to die on the cross for our sins. 3 days later, Jesus rose again. Jesus Christ conquered death, and he is a living and loving God. Therefore, eternal life with God is a free gift that is available to all of us. But you must make the choice to accept this free gift. To make this choice, you must recognize your sin and recognize your need for Jesus Christ as your Savior. Then confess your sin to God, ask him for forgiveness, and put your faith in Jesus. The moment you make this choice, not only do you receive eternal life in heaven, but an exchange happens at that moment. And God places the Holy Spirit inside of you. The Holy Spirit enables you to have a personal relationship with God, and the Holy Spirit will give you access to power that will enable you to overcome sin in your daily life. How amazing is that? In order to experience this intimate relationship, you must make the choice to believe Jesus is your Savior from your sin. Now, if you have not made the decision to personally ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, and you sense God is calling you to make that decision to trust Jesus starting this weekend, you are able to pray directly to God with the Holy Spirit's leading. Or you may want to talk to someone before making this decision, or you may want to pray with someone. There are so many women here who would love to talk to you and pray with you. We have our prayer partners. We have the leadership committee. We have a small group leaders, or maybe even a friend that you're here with. God has a community of believers for a reason. And it's important to talk about your faith with each other, especially when you first make the decision to follow Jesus, because that is the most important decision you will make in your life. I do want to warn you. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:14, the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit does not live inside of you, what I'm going to share with you this weekend may seem foolish. However, my prayer is that the Holy Spirit will give me the words to meet each and every one of you where you are and draw you closer to God and to excite you to enter either into a new, beautiful relationship with God or to grow deeper in your current relationship with God. So, what does a personal relationship with God look like? The quality of your relationship with God will depend on how much you know him and how much you experience him. The Holy Spirit is how you will know God and how you will experience him. John 14:26 said, Jesus said here, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of all things. The Holy Spirit is our Counselor. He's our guide. He's our advocate. If we actively sense the Holy Spirit and we are aware of how he is working, he will teach us the truth and he will remind us of the truth, which allows us to know God. Then, when we obey the truth and walk in faith, we will experience God. David is known as a man who is after God's own heart. As we read about his life, we see he knew God and he knew God's truth. When he first learned of the Philistine Goliath, who taunted the Israelites each day, David's immediate response was, "Who is this pagan Philistine anyway, that he is allowed to defy the armies of the living God?" Then he told King Saul, "Don't worry about this Philistine. I'll go fight him. The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine. David knew the power of God, and there was no doubt in his mind that God would be with him in battle against Goliath. Because of David's knowledge of God, he stepped out in faith and experienced God. He experienced his faithfulness and his power as he walked up to Goliath and he said, you come to me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today, the Lord will conquer you, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. Then David defeated Goliath with only a sling, a stone, and no armor. David's victory is a prime example of how knowing God's truth will give us faith and take action to experience God's truth. A natural reaction we have when we know and experience God is we love God and we desire him more and more. It's similar to falling in love with someone. The more you know and experience the person you love, the more you love that person and the more you want to be with that person. God created love relationships to model what a personal love relationship looks like between God and his people. Just like how you want time with the one you love, you will want time alone with God because you love him and you enjoy that time. That is something that is new to me this past year. I yearn for that alone time with God. I want it. I don't want to just check my time with the Lord off the list like I used to. I receive so much fulfillment in my time with him. He continues to reveal his purposes and his direction to me every day when I am in his word. He meets me where I am every day, whether it's an attitude problem I have, if I'm hurting, or even if I don't realize a certain sin in my life. He addresses these issues and he resolves them during my time with him. David expresses his love for God in Psalm 63. Oh God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you. I have seen you in your sanctuary and gazed upon your power and glory. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise you! I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands in prayer. You satisfy me more than the richest feast. I will praise you with songs of joy. I lie awake thinking of you, meditating on you through the night. Because you are my helper, I sing for joy in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your strong right hand holds me securely. This psalm is David's love response to God's glory that David experienced. David witnessed God's power and his glory and his help and security and God's satisfying love that nothing else in the world could compare to. What a precious love relationship. So as your desire and love for God grows, he will align your desires with his desires. Then, when you share God's desires, he will fulfill those desires because they are his. That is what Psalm 37:4 is referring to, which is a theme verse for this conference. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. The first part of this verse, delight yourself in the Lord, all starts with believing Jesus Christ is your Savior and entering into a personal relationship with God through the Holy Spirit. Through this intimate relationship, you love God and you delight in Him. Other words for delight are gratification, pleasure, joy, extreme satisfaction. The second part of this verse, and He will give you the desires of your heart. When you delight in the Lord, God molds your heart to be in tune with His. Therefore, what drives you, what motivates you, what your passions are, and what your desires are will all align to God's will. You know who wrote Psalm 37? David. Paul describes David in Acts chapter 13, and this is what Paul said. God removed Saul and replaced him with David, a man about whom God said, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. Wow. That statement confirms the sincerity of David's psalm, delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. How incredible would it be for God to say that about each of us? Let's say this on the slide. Let's say this aloud together. And in the blank, I want you to say your name. Okay? Let's say this together. I have found Chelsea, a woman after my own heart. She will do everything I want her to do. We can experience this when we have an intimate, personal relationship with God. I want to share some practical techniques that I have learned on maintaining a relationship with God. However, please know that there is no formula or method for a relationship with Him. God initiates your relationship, and He will meet you where you are, and He will pour His love out on you in areas where you need His love the most. He will use the Holy Spirit to speak to you and lead you. Each person's relationship with God is going to look different, which is absolutely amazing to me. For example, every single woman in this chapel right now is going to have a different relationship with the same God. That alone shows His power. This is a lesson I even learned with my husband. I used to say little remarks to Jeff, like, you know, you should try to have quiet time with God this way or during this time of day because it works really well for me. Or you should really pray about certain things before doing them, and the Holy Spirit will lead you to make the right decisions. But of course, I was convicted of saying that, and I took a step back, and I realized, you know what? Jeff's relationship with the Lord is different, but that's okay. It doesn't have to look exactly like mine. God knows Jeff's heart better than I do, and He knows his needs better than I do, and the Holy Spirit will lead Jeff into a relationship that is best for him. So even though our relationships with God may look different, there are practices the Bible says each believer must do regularly to maintain a deep relationship with God. And these are praise and adore God, read the Bible, confess your sins, pray, and have fellowship with other believers. The practical techniques I'm going to share with you may give you a place to start, but please allow the Lord to lead you from there. If the Lord leads you to do these practices differently, follow his leading. Praise and adoration, or worship, is our response to God for who he is and what he has done. This response can come in the form of singing, and this can be in a corporate setting with other believers, or it could even be by yourself. Psalm 150 says, "Praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty heaven, praise him for his mighty works, praise his unequaled greatness, praise him with the tambourine and dancing, praise him with strings and flutes. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." You could take a walk with God and just talk to him. Praise him to list all of his characteristics that you are thankful for. You can go on a nature walk and adore his creation. This can be in the woods. It could be in the mountains. It could be on the beach. It could be during sunrise. It could be during sunset. The Bible tells us to read God's word. Deuteronomy 11:18-19 says, "Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Both of these passages command us to know God's word so we know God's truth. Becky Hill, who attends EMC, and unfortunately she wasn't able to be with us this weekend, but she recommended a book to me called Sacred Rhythms, Arranging Our Lives for Spiritual Transformation by Ruth Haley Barton. And I highly recommend this book. She talks about spiritual transformation and how to develop and maintain a rhythm of spiritual practices to keep you open and available to God. I want to share some of the practices that this book offers. She says, approach scripture like a love letter, personally written for you, rather than a textbook or a newspaper. Don't focus on just gathering information and all this knowledge, but focus on your heart's desire. Some questions you can ask yourself after reading a passage is, how do I feel about what is being said? Why do I feel this way? What aspect of my life is being touched? What are my reactions, such as my attitudes, my perspectives, my behaviors? What do those tell me about myself? So I did this one morning. I read Romans chapter 2, and the verse that jumped out to me was, "You, therefore, have no excuse who you pass judgment on. You are condemning yourself because you who pass judgment do the same things." I was trying to figure out, why does this verse speak so loudly to me? So I asked the questions. How do I feel about what is being said? Why do I feel this way? What aspect of my life is being touched? What do my reactions tell me about myself? Well, after answering these questions, I realized I was judging someone when I didn't even realize I was doing it. I immediately confessed this sin to the Lord, asked for forgiveness, and asked him to change my heart to show love instead of judgment. This is an example that God's word is living. and it meets us where we are. And the Holy Spirit uses God's word to reveal the truth. If we submit to the Holy Spirit's leading, he will transform our hearts by renewing our minds to God's truth. I've learned that it helps me to journal my answers to these questions. That way, it keeps me focused on the word, and my mind doesn't go off to my kids or my schedule for the day. So that helps me. Ruth Barton also discusses the practice Lectio Divina, which is Latin for divine reading. This is a reflective type of reading that helps you be open to God's initiative rather than your own agenda. How this works is you choose a short passage, no more than 8 verses, and you begin with a time of silent preparation to get rid of the busyness and chaos that is in your mind. Then you read the passage and you listen for one word or one phrase that strikes you. Read the passage a second time and reflect on how your life is touched by that word or phrase and why you needed to hear it at that moment. Respond to this revelation in prayer. And this should be a natural response to what you heard God say to you. Read the passage a third time and rest in God and enjoy his presence, knowing that he will enable you to respond faithfully. And again, if it helps you, write down your thoughts and prayers. I did this technique shortly after I learned I was going to be the speaker for this conference. I read a few verses in Exodus 7, which is where God told Moses how God was going to free the Israelites. The phrase that stood out to me was, "You are to say everything I command you." Well, as you probably guessed, I was touched by this phrase because I was to listen to God for the words to speak at this conference. He will lay the words on my heart and on my mind that the women attending need to hear. He will enable me to do this, and I am not on my own. That was so comforting and exciting to me that my natural response was to thank God for using me to talk to women and that he has promised to work through me if I depend on him. The Bible says to confess our sins. 1 John 1:8 through 9, if we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. As I mentioned earlier, sin separates us from God. As believers, if we have sin in our hearts that we do not acknowledge nor confess, our relationship with God will suffer, and it will be very difficult to delight in the Lord. However, through Jesus Christ, we have the power of the Holy Spirit to discern the sin in our lives, to acknowledge it, to confess it, and to replace it with a pure heart. Maintaining a pure heart will enable you to continue to grow closer to God. If you sense any guilt, any judgment, or apprehension in your heart, you should immediately bring all of that weight to God. Find a quiet place and ask him to reveal to you where is this sin coming from? Ask him to take it away and to give you the power to overcome the temptation of sin. A practice Ruth Barton mentions is self-examination. How you can do this is at the end of each day or at the end of each week, go over the events that occurred and ask God to reveal to you when the Holy Spirit was present with you and how you responded to his presence. Ask him to bring to mind any attitudes, any actions, or moments when you fell short of exhibiting God's character or fruits of the Spirit. Confess this sin to God and ask God for forgiveness and for the power to act differently in the same type of situations in the future. The Bible tells us to pray. Romans 8, 26 through 27, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. The purpose of prayer is to deepen our intimacy with God, to know God through experience rather than just knowing a lot about God. The Holy Spirit prays with you and for you, especially when you don't know the right words to use. And you know what? God answers. Oh, that's amazing. Ask the Holy Spirit to intercede for you in accordance with God's will. Then you can bring your request to God, trusting he will always do what is best. That is incredible power that we as believers have access to. God may have you wait for answers after and while you are praying. God gives you enough instructions to do what he wants you to do now. He will let you know what he's doing in your life when and if you need to know. The waiting part may be extremely hard for some of us. It is for me. I have a strong type A personality, and I honestly struggle to wait on the Lord. I want to be productive, and I want to act on my own strength to accomplish what needs to be done. But I have learned that is not the best way. Waiting requires us to act in faith, to know that God's way is best. God will do more through you in weeks and even days than you could ever accomplish on your own. The Bible tells us to have fellowship with other believers. 1 John 1:7, but if we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with other believers, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. This verse claims that if we are living in the light, then we will have loving fellowship with other believers. Therefore, if we have a sincere relationship with God, we should have fellowship with other believers at the same time. God created fellowship so we can love, encourage, and be accountable to one another. The Bible tells us to be light to the darkness. However, we need other believers to keep us on the right track, to prevent us from being conformed to the darkness. We should fellowship with others who are in the same season of life as we are, since they are probably going through the same struggles and the same joys as we are, and to pray for and encourage each other. We should also have fellowship with others who are in different seasons of life than we are. Paul and Timothy are great examples of this. Paul discipled Timothy, and you can witness their precious friendship as brothers in Christ in 1 and 2 Timothy. Paul wrote, Timothy, I thank God for you. Night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. I long to see you again, for I remember your tears as we parted. And I will be filled with joy when we are together again. I encourage each of you to have a Paul and a Timothy in your life. Find someone to disciple you who has a sincere personal relationship with God, who you trust and who you respect. She doesn't necessarily have to be older than you, but maybe she went through a similar circumstance that you are going through now. Then find someone who you can disciple, who you can encourage to desire God in all areas of her life. If you have an authentic personal relationship with God, then these dear relationships with other believers will naturally pour out of you. Some of you may be thinking, I want a deep love relationship with God like this, but how am I ever going to fit all of this alone time with God in my busy schedule? Or, like me, I have noisy kids in my house all day, and the thought of having a quiet time sounds like a luxurious opportunity that I don't get. Well, this may be a good time to evaluate your priorities. For me, the best time to spend with God is early in the morning before anyone else is awake, because I am the only morning person in my house. But to do this, I have to discipline myself to go to bed at night at a reasonable time. That way, I'll be able to wake up early enough to have my quiet time before the crazy rush begins. This may mean I don't have time to watch that Netflix show or to catch up on Facebook to see what my family and friends are up to. Or for those of you who think I'm absolutely crazy for being a morning person, maybe you need to set your schedule so you have your quiet time in the afternoon or the evenings. One thing to keep in mind, you should be flexible with your schedule. It's okay if you aren't feeling well or something unexpected happens so you miss your quiet time. You can reschedule it for another time in the day, or you can skip that day. It's okay. Give yourself grace. Just be careful not to get into the habit of skipping several days in a row. Once you get out of the rhythm of having time with the Lord, it's so easy for Satan to convince you that you don't really need it. And you start to think, oh, I'll just get back into it next month. Or, you know what, maybe even the month after that. Without having that special time with the Lord to allow the Holy Spirit to renew your mind and speak truth to you and direct your paths, you will start to revert back to the world's thinking. It is very easy to do. I encourage you to try your best to stick to your allotted quiet time with the Lord in order to read his word as a personal love letter, to confess your sins, and to pray to deepen your intimacy with God. To do this, you may need to have a discussion with your spouse or your kids or roommate or other people around you to let them know when you plan to have this sacred time, and ask them to help you make this happen because it's so important to you. I'm going to leave you with this for the evening. I warn you, and I am sure a lot of you in here have already experienced this, when you truly seek and desire God to make him the Lord of your life, God will lead you to make adjustments. You cannot continue life as usual and go with God at the same time. He wants you to yield your entire life to him. Now, the adjustments may not be as drastic as moving to a new town, but there will be costs involved. I promise you, they will be well worth it. Ask God to reveal what things or even what people you are emotionally tied to that take priority over God. Ask for the power of the Holy Spirit to help you instead place God as a priority in that area of your life. I pray that the Holy Spirit has given you some excitement to jump into a deep personal relationship with the one true God, where you can willingly delight in him and share his desires. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for bringing each woman who is sitting in these pews right now. I pray you speak to every one of us, no matter where we are in our walk with you. I pray you will open our hearts and open our minds this weekend. I pray for the small group discussions that are going to start right after this. I pray for honesty. I pray people will be vulnerable. I pray that people will be open to listening and receptive and be praying for those who are in need, Lord. I pray you continue to use my words this week and remove my ideas, remove my thoughts, remove my desires. And Lord, please place you inside of me to speak to everyone tonight. Father, I pray this last song here that we will worship you and honor you and delight in you during this time of worship. I pray all these things in your holy name. Amen.